Hello, hello. My name's Josh, and I worship here on Sunday morning with you guys. This is my family. You guys got to see us do that Bible verse, and that was a lot of fun. Thank you for letting us do that for you guys. Beth came to me a couple months ago and asked about teaching at the service. It's one of my favorite things that Fellowship is really, really big on is on family ministry and on leaders of families owning the spiritual development of the next generation. And Fellowship as a church or any other church that you may be a part of that is the partner with you in doing so. And so it's one of my absolute favorite things when we get together like this to show our next generation that we're around a lot and we're really busy with, I get it, that how to worship and how to sit and listen to the word being taught and how to be generous with the things God's given us. And so today we're going to be talking about answering kind of the question, what just happened? Have you guys ever been in a spot like where you just get, you're on like on vacation or you watch a game, like maybe a recent Razorback baseball game, and something really just normal's happening and then something incredible happens and you just kind of ask yourself, what just happened? Or like me, you text all the guys you're coaching baseball with and go, what just happened? For those of you who don't know what happened, we should have won the championship. That's what just happened. But I'm going to start off today. I want to give you guys a little quiz. Everybody, who's going back to school in a couple weeks? Within like 2 weeks, everybody, yeah, good. Yeah, little hands should be raised. Exactly right. Yeah, and moms pointing to children. Good. So we're going to go through a little quiz. It's a little geography, a little Western civilization, a little history, and see how you guys are doing so far. So I'm going to pop stuff up on the screen. I'm not raising hands or anything. Just shout it out. What is it and where is it? So what is this? Statue of Liberty, and where is it? Wrong, it's actually in the ocean. There you go, didn't know if you knew that or not. But yeah, that's the Statue of Liberty, obviously. So that's a good one. You're doing good so far. I don't know if it gets harder or easier. I just pulled a bunch of these. Okay, what we got here? St. Louis Arch. See, again, you would think so, but it's actually, it throws people off. But right there, there's a little steeple. It's actually the Basilica of King Louis of France. Did you know that? That's actually very true, but it's the arch. It's in St. Louis. Very, very good. All right, next one. Also, what I said is true, too. I'm not, like, lying. We're not allowed to do that up here. All right, this one. Where are we at? What is it? Mount Rushmore. Where is it? Very good. Yeah, if you said the Dakotas, brush up. All right, you need to know. That's how it's going. And, of course, these are our presidents. This is Curious George. And, of course, we've got Thomas the Train here, Teddy Ruxpin, and Father Abraham right over there. That's founders of our nation. The middle one was for the parents. The kids, if y'all know Teddy Ruxpin, I'm very proud of your parents. All right, next one. Here we go. What's that guy? Right there. Washington Monument. Okay, very good. Where is it? Got a little quiet on that one. Let's go here. Okay, next one. Let's see what we got. Ground Zero. Yeah, and where is Ground Zero? It's in New York City. Exactly right. Who's this guy?
Abraham Lincoln.
That's right, Abraham Lincoln. And where is he sitting forever and ever? Lincoln Memorial. On the chair. He's not wrong. He's not wrong on that. That's right. Lincoln Memorial's in Washington, D.C., of course. Oh, how about this one? Liberty Bell, a monument to slippery fingers. Where is the Liberty Bell? Philadelphia, PA. Very, very good. Also known for their really good hot dogs. Last one. The Alamo. Okay, all right. Looks like some people need to take a trip southwest. All right. Where is the Alamo? San Antonio, yes, the People's Republic of Texas. Here's a great, I did this one last on purpose because on the count of three, the phrase that comes along with the Alamo, every time you hear about it, every time you learn about it, it's Davy Crockett's house, you know, all this kind of stuff. What do we say about the Alamo every time we say it? We say, remember the Alamo. We remember the Alamo. And all of these are monuments and memorials of things that happened. And so something amazing happened or some person affected great change in our country or at a place. And we sat back for a second. We said, what just happened? We want to remember this.
And so we build something, or we create a space, or we dedicate a place to remember what just happened. This isn't our idea as Americans. They're all over the world. I don't even think this is people's idea. I think that remembering things and creating monuments or memorials to remember things is actually God's idea. And so if you've got your Bibles with you, you've got moms, kiddos, dads, aunts, uncles, whoever's here, open them up to Joshua chapter 3. We're going to be there this morning, chapter 3 and 4. It's towards the beginning. It's a very good place to start. It's the sixth book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. And you're going to go to chapter 3. So as you're looking, if you need some help, there's a table of contents probably in your Bible. Use it. They don't print stuff without you. You want to use it. But as you're turning there, we're going to do a bit of a history to catch you guys up on what's been going on with Israel up to this point. Everybody's pretty familiar with Israel. Hopefully, they're God's nation, God's people. We're already back in the time. They've already had the stuff in Egypt and the 10 plagues, and God's delivered them from Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. This is right after the time where they did all those years of wandering around in the desert, and they didn't have a home. And so they basically camped out for like 40 years. That's a long vacation to take together, right? And then God was bringing them to a land that he was said, this will be yours. I will give you this and you will be my people in your land and this is to be your place. Well, they had to get there and they got there and then Moses was leading the people. He passed away and a man named Joshua became the leader of Israel. If you guys remember, this is, then Joshua sent 12 spies into the land because it wasn't theirs. So they had to sneak around, find out what was going on. And 12 spies came back, and most of them were like, it's a pretty big problem. There's a lot of people that live there. And two of them were like, this land's awesome. God told us he'd give it to us, so let's go get it, all right? And so then they got to the spot where they were going to cross, and the Jordan River was there. Jordan River's a pretty big one, and I don't know about you guys, but I can't breathe underwater, right? You can be a pretty good swimmer, but they didn't have like Swim Ranch and Miss Dana Dorch and all those people teaching swim lessons back then in the Israelites. Plus, they just spent all that time in the desert, so they didn't really have laps to practice in. They had to cross the river. It was also in flood stage. This is a big problem. We pick it up here. After 3 days, the officers of the land went throughout the camp of Israel giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and go follow it. Then you will know which way to go since you have never been this way before. I think it's interesting that those are the instructions that were given to the Israelites. They knew that they hadn't been there before, but what God was doing was instructing the leaders to tell the people, I know you haven't been here, but guess what? I know where we're going. There's a purpose for this, and I want you to follow me in this. He was just kind of like laying out the grid work and laying out trust for his people. He was laying out trust for his people. And then we jump in to them crossing the river. This is going to be great. The whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Nation of Israel, you know, a couple million people round about there. So this isn't like your family reunion going to Chili's to have dinner and you think that's crazy. Try to move most of the state of Arkansas across a river, okay? That's about what we're thinking about here. The whole nation had finished the crossing the Jordan. The Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you. Put them down at the place where you stay tonight. Like we skipped a part, right? We skipped the thing that happened. When the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they touched the water and the water stopped. A flooding river stopped. It stopped way upstream and the entire nation crossed through on dry ground. And this is the instructions that they get now. The priests were to stand right in the middle of the river. They're carrying the ark and they're standing there on dry ground. The whole nation comes through. And this is the instructions that the nation's about to get, that they're getting for what they're about to do. They're about to see something incredible. So the people broke camp to cross the Jordan. The priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them, and now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet, as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. They just saw something incredible. Would that be pretty crazy to see? If you're going, how many of you guys driven across the Mississippi River? Pretty big, huh? The Jordan's not quite that big, but what if some people were just walking and all of a sudden their feet touched the water's edge and then the river just stopped flowing? And it all kind of cleared out downstream and it stopped way upstream somewhere and it just pulled up and God held it back so that you could go across. That'd be pretty amazing. Do you think everybody in the Israelite camp was just kind of like, okay, yeah, no big deal. God does this. He did it at the Red Sea. This is how we do this. It's not how it went. This was a completely different generation of people. Most of the men and women who experienced the Red Sea crossing had passed away during the wandering. So these are people who are experiencing God do something incredible for the first time. They're seeing this happen. So what we wanted to do is you guys are going to get together in your kind of family groups if you're sitting together. Hopefully you are. And talk about something that you guys saw God do this summer. Something you just saw that was amazing, that was incredible. And if it's kind of hard to think about something you saw God do, talk about something you saw together as a family that was just like, what just happened? See if you can answer that question. You guys got a few minutes. Go ahead, gather among yourselves. We're going to do that right now. Talk to each other. Something you saw this summer that was just incredible. Pretty fun hashing up things you saw this year, this summer. I know a lot of you guys went on vacations and had camps and teams and all that kind of stuff. And as you saw something, maybe without even meaning to or knowing it, you experienced it. Seeing something means you're experiencing it in a way. You can also experience things by hearing it, and, you know, touch and taste and all that kind of stuff too. But what you saw this summer, you experienced. And to experience something is a lot different. It kind of takes it to another level because you see something on TV, that's quite a different experience from being at the event, right? It's a lot different. I like riding a road bike. I'm a big road biker. So today's the last day of the Tour de France. So anybody cares? This is pretty much just me. And I know that watching on TV is great. It's a lot of fun. But I also have had friends who go, and the experience is absolutely incredible. And what we saw the Israelites do here is experience what they saw in a different way. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each of the tribes, and then tell them to take 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you're staying tonight." And what we see here, the whole nation crossed the Jordan. Not one of them saw the Jordan stop flowing. Not one of them saw what God promised to do and saw it happen and then just went, "I'm good. That's it. I don't need to get in there anymore." They walked straight through God's provision for them. They walked into into that experience and really got into it. You guys ever stepped in, like, you know, like if a river's going down or a pond trying to dries up and that mud that's around the side of it? It's really sticky and nasty, isn't it? But it's kind of fun to play in too. I wonder if the Jordan felt like that. I wonder if they could, like, see fish and crawdads and crabs and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I've never been. I wonder what else they saw, what they could smell, what they could see, and with kids maybe like saw like fossils or something like that, picked them up in the rocks. Maybe. You do some of those things. Israelite kids probably weren't a lot different from you as kids. So if you run around and you get distracted walking through a huge river, maybe you pick up stuff. Maybe they did too. There was an experience that was created. God set this out. He commanded them to do something, and everyone experienced it. So here's kind of the cool part about this. As families this summer, whatever you just talked about in your experience as a family this summer, now what we want you guys to do is kind of get together. Share what your experience of that was. Because someone could have experienced, like, it as a participant in it, and then mom or dad, you watched it happen. Or maybe somebody went on a really, really cool trip or a long plane ride and they got to experience it, and mom and dad, you got to pay for that. And you got to experience it in a different way. Now what I want you guys to do is talk about how your experience for that event that you just shared with each other was. Hopefully, and I think there's going to be some different answers around the group, but y'all go ahead, back in your groups, back in your family group there, and talk about what your experience with what you saw was like. As you're kind of chatting about this, one opportunity you guys are going to have together is coming up. We're going to be doing the prayer walks around the schools. And so fellowship's kind of putting the ball on a tee and saying, hey, here's an opportunity for a family experience together to go do prayer walks around your school. And if you don't go to school at like a public or private school or whatever like that, do it at your house. It's a pretty neat thing to do. It's an experience that you have together that can really, really anchor things in the minds of people. My dad's a psychologist down in Fayetteville. He works with kids a lot, and he talks about, he's taught me kind of a little bit about when you want to create habits and rhythms in your life, when you just do something here and there, it's kind of like a dashed line, you know, just like a dotted line from one place to another. But as you do that thing over and over and over again, that dotted line starts to become more dashed. And then as you do that thing over and over and over again, it actually becomes a line. And so all of a sudden, an experience isn't something that's like isolated anymore. And so when leaders of families create experiences that are pointing to something else and helping us to remember something, to experience something again and again and remember what happened, at first it may feel kind of weird and awkward. At first it may feel kind of uncomfortable and different and new. But who isn't doing new things like every single year, right? What if leaders of families got a hold of experiences on purpose for their families and led them into something new? And then when you lead them into that new thing and you do it over and over and over, so all of a sudden, the pathway to an experience isn't that big of a deal anymore, and it's not unknown to your children or our next generation. What if it's just a straight line? It's a known path. And so when our next generation has their next generation, that generation's walking on a known path. And then that generation has their next generation. You see how it goes. And all the way till Jesus comes back, there's going to be next generations. And our responsibility as leaders of families is to create experiences that point to God in this. So we're going to sing a little bit more, and then we got one more thing to end. So we talked about what the Israelites saw. They experienced, and you guys have shared a little bit about that together, but it's still kind of, I mean, we started off talking about memorials and monuments and all that kind of stuff, and we still haven't talked about that. Don't worry, I have prepared. This is good. We're going to talk about what the Israelites did next that helps them remember and helps us to know today that we are to actually copy this right here. There we go. Perfect. All right, that's it. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of Israel, there were 12, to serve as a sign among you. And in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? You tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. We have a great format right here. So the Israelites walked through, leaders from each of the tribe, leaders of families. They picked up a stone, and then they took it to the spot where they camped on the other side, where they just crossed into the land that God was going to give them, and they put it down, and they built a memorial. They built a monument to what God had done. And then, whenever people came by later, or, you know, 20 years, they're coming back, they're fishing on the Jordan, or going for a swim, or whatever it is, and then they see these pile of rocks, they go, Dad, what's that? That, son, actually, when I was about your age, My granddad put that rock there because when we came over to this land, God stopped the Jordan from flowing. It's an amazing thing. And we're here. You know, you see what happens here with this. We, as leaders of families, are in the remembering business, where we look back at what God's done and we see and experience what God is doing, and we tell our children and our next generation that we are to remember it. Kiddos and families, you guys are great at remembering things, aren't you? Sometimes you need some work on some other things too, but tell me, Mom, Dad, who hadn't been in a moment where one of your children says, "Mom, Dad, you said..." And then they repeat your exact words back to you. Yeah, that's happened twice to me this week, and it will happen more and more. So kiddos, this isn't just like Mom and Dad's job. This is your job to help remember too on this side of things. And so that's why I think it's good when we see things like memorials and monuments that we are to remember what it was for. And so in our family units, we're to create them. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. And they are there to this day. It's kind of an incredible thing to think about, that if you were to start something in your family this school year, if you were to start something today, this fall, just pick something really, really easy for your family to do together, that it could be something that you guys look back on and remember forever and ever. And you could keep it going and keep it going and keep it going. And so our challenge for you guys, as we're going to kind of huddle up one more time at the right now, is to think about something that Stephanie and I were encouraged to do this by one of the pastors here at Fellowship. His name's Chip Jackson. For those of you who know and love Chip, this will be of no surprise to you. In their home, they have a framed picture of their family name, Jackson's, and it's kind of an acrostic kind of thing. It says, you know, J, and it has family values. A, a family value. C, a family value. And so Stephanie and I, on a date night one night years ago, we created one for ourselves, and we just wrote out the name Lawson, and we wrote, like, values that we want to instill, like, not only for each other and for ourselves, but that we want to model for our next generation. And so then they can have value systems and basis to model for their next generation and theirs and so on and so forth. It's pretty simple, easy stuff. I'll share ours with you. It's not rocket science or anything like that. We came up with it, adjusted a few of them to make it fit what God's made important to us. The Lawsons love one another unconditionally. We accept one another no matter what. We work diligently. We serve one another accordingly. We outlive ourselves in generosity, and then we nurture the dreams of one another. It's pretty simple, easy stuff. And for those of you guys who have last names like Brown, then it'll be a pretty fun little exercise. For those of you who have last names like Kowalchuk, it'll be a good challenge, and it'll be a lot of fun. But I'm telling you, it will be a great, great exercise to go through what are our family values. If you've already got something going on, you can mold that into your last name and display it somewhere in your home. So the last thing I want you guys to do together as a family unit is to go think about what's your last name, the first letter. The first letter, come up in 2 or 3 minutes, come up with the family value you want to have for the first letter of your last name. Go ahead. You got a couple minutes of it, and then we'll have a little bit more.